And as mentioned, we have a guest speaker today who I would like to introduce to you, though of course you all know him fairly well. But my first memory of John Witte was in my first interview with your pastoral search committee over Skype, and I was in St. Paul, and the committee was in the boardroom at Rural Solutions, which John and his wife Teresa own, by the way, if you don't know that. And one of the questions that was put toward me before we got into more serious matters was, you know, what are your hobbies and things you like to spend time with? And I think I listed off a few things and then mentioned that Anna and I like to eat out quite a bit. And I remember John yelling out at that point, "Well, that'll stop if you move out here," he said. That's my first John Witte memory. And by the way, it hasn't stopped. It just, you know, you have to drive a little further for the variety, but it hasn't stopped. And I've really gotten, really have enjoyed getting to know John over the last year and a half. John is a peacemaker, for those of you who know him. He cares about people. He cares about people getting along, and he works towards that, and I appreciate that about him. John also has a sensitive heart to God and listens to what God is telling him and seeks for that. Another thing I appreciate about him. So happy to invite him to the pulpit now and to share what God has placed on his heart for us this morning. Why don't we welcome John?
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Okay. All right. Why don't we open in prayer? Father God, Lord, we thank you for this chance to just worship you this morning, Lord. We pray that this message is from you, Lord, and that you use me for your glory, Lord, in everything that is said and done. All this we pray in your holy name. Amen. So today, we're going to talk about being prepared, and it's ironic because I've been trying to put together a message all week about being prepared, and it was Thanksgiving, and Josh was here, and it's hard to get it going, and I don't know. I'm not ready to talk today. So you know that uncomfortable feeling that you have sometimes when you're not prepared for things. Isn't that terrible? And it makes people even around you uncomfortable at times. And I remember it was probably 8 years ago. It was sitting in the fourth row back there. We were at a New Year's Eve, Christmas Eve service. And it was a Christmas Eve service. And we had all the family there. And we were rocking Christmas that year. We had gotten through country Christmas. If you remember, you know, our family was really involved back then in the country Christmas stuff. So we had all that behind us. The house was decorated up. We had all the presents wrapped. And it was Christmas Eve. That's pretty good before the service. And we had everything going. And, you know, we came here and I'm like, yeah, we did it. And as we're sitting there, something hit me during that message. I had missed the whole point. I had everything physically prepared. I thought that I was doing the right stuff and everything. And in my heart, I'd missed the whole point. And so here I am sitting at a Christmas Eve service trying to force my heart to get right for the season. And it's not very easy to do. So when Pastor Eric asked me if I would give the message, I felt maybe I'm not the only one that's ever felt that way. And before we get to Christmas Eve, maybe we could look at that a little bit today. So that was what was on my heart today. You know, there's a lot of things that kind of pull us away from the message of Christmas, isn't there? You know, we get into Thanksgiving and all the families together. And I bet everybody had something to say about Black Friday when we were together with family on Thanksgiving. Isn't that amazing how Black Friday has become like the first big thing related to Christmas? And, you know, it's everywhere. It's on TV, it's on the internet, it's in the newspapers and everywhere you go. And it just drives me nuts when you see these videos from the news about people in the Christmas spirit shopping and pushing each other for these deals. And now, I'm not a shopper anyway, but I just don't understand it. That just makes us kind of skeptical of the Christmas season, you know. And if you're not careful, the world will kind of take that focus away from you. The bad news we have. Another vision that has been really bothering me this last week is, you know, the whole thing that's been happening in Ferguson. And that season's greeting signs, you know what I'm talking about? They got the street lights and the decorations all up, and there's this battle and there's riots and everything going on right underneath these season greeting signs. I'm like, what is up with that? You know, again, it's the world that's trying to grab our attention and distract us, you know, and even the good things, like the Christmas programs we're involved in, the Christmas pageants, the preparing, the special things that we do, all good things, but they keep us so busy. There's a lot of times if we're not careful, we can miss the point. And so we have to be careful about that. Shopping, like I said, I'm not really a shopper. Giving gifts, you know, that's part of the Christmas spirit and everything, but, you know, for a guy like me, that becomes a chore because shopping is stressful, and again, you miss the point. Like I said, basically the world, particularly this time of year, I think, just tries to grab us, and you think of it as a stream that's taken us down the current away. So as I was thinking about preparing a heart for Christmas, so I think about some things that we prepare for. What are some things we prepare for all the time? You know, do we prepare to go to church this morning? You know, I took a long time getting my hair all ready. going out for the evening. You know, I not so bad now, but I remember waiting for a long time as we were getting ready to go out. Anybody waited more than half an hour to go out for the evening for somebody to get ready? More? I won't go there. we prepare our businesses or our farms and, you know, the work we do. We prepare taxes. We prepare all this thing. We put lots of time and energy in it consciously. Programs and performances. We spend a lot of time to do those things. But after you start doing these over and over again, you kind of go into an autopilot mode, don't you? If you're not careful, you just do them for the sake of doing them, and you don't really think of why and what it has to do with right here in our hearts. And another, when Pastor Eric had called me that day and asked me to give the message, I had been reading Jeremiah. And actually, I'm going to bring that verse up. This is the verse that I actually read that kind of made it clear to me what I wanted to think about today. It was Jeremiah 23, verses 5 through 8. And if you call it, in Jeremiah, God is speaking to the people of Israel through Jeremiah. And the messages aren't really that good because the people of Israel have been following idols, and he's warning them over and over again, turn from that, follow me, and I will save you. I will protect you. But if you don't, just listen to me and do what I say, or otherwise you're going to be hurting. That's, it says over and over again. And then he promises, the days are coming, well, he'll raise David, a branch of righteousness, a king that shall reign and prosper, and execute judgment and righteousness in all the earth. In these days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that they shall no longer say, as the Lord lives who brought up the children of Israel from the land of Egypt, but as the Lord lives who brought up and led the descendants of the house of Israel from the north country, from all the countries where they had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. Actually, that was a different version. The living, New Living Version of that basically says, you're no longer going to talk about the Lord who led us out of Israel, but you're going to say the Lord who saved us, or led us out of Egypt, but the Lord who saved us. And I started thinking, what if Christ never came? Because when he talks about the son of David that's going to be on the throne, that hasn't happened yet, and the future is very bleak. And all these promises that God was giving to these people, what was to come, what if Jesus hadn't come yet? Ever thought that? It's kind of scary. You know, we talk about our firm foundation in our song that we sang today. What if we didn't have that foundation? What if we're sitting here and we're still in the old covenant, 2,500 years after the fact, and we're still waiting for the Messiah? You know, we're Gentiles, so you know we don't have the promises that the Israelites have. How scary would that be? What would the world look like? And I started thinking, you know, as I'm preparing my own thoughts for preparing our hearts for Christmas, what if Jesus had never come? What would the world look like? And this is definitely not an exhaustive list, but it was some things that came to my mind, and I know there's more, and I encourage you to think about these things deeper as we prepare for going into Advent season. There's no doubt it'd be a dark and dreary place, this world. You know, we wouldn't have heard the salvation message. Imagine that, still, you know, not even knowing about salvation, not thinking about it. We'd be waiting for the fulfillment of God's prophecies. You know, the son of David hasn't been on the throne yet. How much patience would we still have? One of the warnings that God had often spoke of through Jeremiah and through the other prophets is the pagan gods, the idol worship that was going on in that time. Well, I'd imagine that would still be going on, and then some. You know, if we hadn't had Christianity, everybody would have their idols. And, you know, man-made idols that are just made of sticks and rock or whatever, and we'd be worshiping them. Forgiveness would not have been something that has ever heard of, so everybody would be kind of an eye for an eye. We'd be, you know, you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you back. That'd be kind of chaos in the court system and everything. In fact, that would be absolutely terrible. You know, Jesus taught humility, so we wouldn't have heard about that whole concept. So it would be all about me, and you'd be all about you, and everybody else would be all about themselves. I think that would be chaos. That would be a pretty tough place to live. Compassion? You know, we wouldn't have that. Jesus has taught us compassion. So we'd all be for ourselves and not care what anybody else thought or felt. How about the value of life? What was the value of life back before Christ was here? You know, I know children would be routinely sacrificed. That was another thing that he spoke against all the time. And, you know, they'd be left to die, or they would be killed in the sacrifices. Or at best, they'd be thrown into slavery if, because nobody cared about them. It was all about themselves. You know, we all hear about the stories of the Rome and the gladiators and all that, where people would fight to the death, and it was just for sport. You know, that would still be going on, I would guess, with all those attitudes that we have and those feelings that we wouldn't have yet. Slavery. How many people had slaves back then? I mean, everybody was enslaved for somebody. And again, it doesn't matter because all I care about is me. So they're on their own. Polygamy, you know, how many different wives that a lot of the people had back then. It wasn't until the messages that we've heard from Christ and Paul about marriage. So that would be something that would be terrible. Even cannibalism. People were eating one another. I mean, it was just a terrible, terrible, there's no value given to life at all. And so that would be one other thing. Doing unto others, we wouldn't have heard that message. So we're, you know, the freedoms that we have, our country was founded on you know, humanitarian and do unto others. And the forefathers used some of those words in our Constitution and in the early writings of our thing. Science and education, you think about how it was, you know, the Christian teachings that started getting people thinking. Back in those days, it seemed like, oh, there's something I don't understand, I'm going to worship it. You know, a lot of people worship the sun, the stars, and all these things. And so, you know, it was really Christian, you know, the Christ views that kind of showed us that we have an ordered universe. And these are things that, you know, we wouldn't have understood. We wouldn't have that. Everybody would be saying their own thing and doing their own thing. In fact, I read an article, I won't even say that person's name, but there was a movie star. And somebody asked him, what kind of books do you read? What kind of things do you like to read? And they said, I don't really like to read too much, anybody except myself. So what I do, I write these books, and then I read them. And I think that's the most interesting type of reading to do. What? And that's been, I've been thinking about that. And, you know, everybody would be doing their own thing. Talk about a mess. And so, Paul, could you bring up 1 Corinthians 15:19? And, you know, in this life, Paul says we have hope in Christ. Or if in this life, okay, I had to think my train of thought. Only have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable, because there's no hope, there's no salvation. And that's what Paul's point is in there. But now you're ready for some good news? Christ was born. Okay? He was born and we can celebrate it. He is our salvation. We are living in this new covenant. If you think about salvation, it's not something that just happens after we die. You know, we can get salvation right now today. You know, we are living without the guilt of our sins today. And it starts today, and God's prophecies have been filled through Christ all the way through. And yes, we have salvation. And that is awesome. It's worth celebrating, I would say. Talking about this new covenant, time is even based on this fact, right? We've got before Christ was born, it was B.C., before Christ, and a little thing, I hope I pronounced this right, I'm sure Eric knows if I do, the A.D. is Anno Domini, and close enough, Anno Domini. Anyway, what that stands for is the year of our Lord, okay? So today is November 30th, 2014, the year of our Lord. If we were to say it right, AD, the year of our Lord. So we're living in this time right now. That's pretty exciting to think about there too. The whole world knows this. This is how time, he changed time and everything about it. In some of those things that we were talking about before, about the old covenant, let's look at Romans 14:11. You know, we were talking about pagan gods and how all these different things were being worshipped. Well, it's written, as is the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue confess that he is the Lord. So we know beyond the shadow of the doubt that he is God. How about forgiveness? Matthew 18:22, he talks about forgiveness. So much about the eye for an eye and getting back. How many times do you have to forgive? And again, that the things that we have learned through Christ, imagine not knowing those. But we can celebrate that we have these things in our life. And we can praise God for this. Humility. Matthew 11:29 talks about humility. I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and I will find rest for your souls. Compassion, value of life, doing unto others as you would have done to them. Matthew 7:12 talks about do to them and for the law and the prophets, doing unto others as you would have done to yourself. All these things are worth celebrating. And we can think about these things as we prepare our hearts for the season that's coming, getting right. So how do we prepare for these things? You know, again, this is not an exhaustive list, but for myself, doing exercises like these help me. I've always been thinking, I'm one of those people that always want to think, you know, extremes. You know, if this, well then what if this, and what if this, and go, you know, it goes together. And so this is kind of a natural progression for me to think, but I would encourage you, as you're preparing to think about Christmas and celebrate, what if this wouldn't have happened? You know, what else would have been wrong? What would our life today look like? And it wouldn't be very good, I don't believe. I would spend time praying, thanking God for these things, all these things that we often take for granted. I have to confess, it's been a long time since I've thanked God that marriage is between, you know, one man and one woman. You take these things for granted. I haven't thought about thanking God for showing me that I need to forgive people. We get in this autopilot mode. Stop and think. Slow down when this busyness is upon us. Just stop and think why we're doing it. If you don't, I guarantee the world's going to pull you away downstream. Another thing that I would suggest is opening up the Gospels. Even when you're doing your devotions and your meditations on reading other books and things, it's always good to read the Gospels and the Christmas story and think about that. And I know as a kid we could recite those things without just spit them out, not think about, you know, and Caesar decreed and blah, 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 we just go on. But you think about what would happen if that wouldn't have happened, the significance, the profoundness of it all. Christ's arrival changed everything for all eternity. That's big. We're celebrating, not just showing up. It's worth celebrating. And in doing this study, you know, we've often heard the term post-Christian. And, you know, you kind of get what that means, where we're at and all that. But until I started thinking about pre-Christian and post-Christian, a lot of these things are kind of starting to happen, aren't they? You know, people are if you look at the world, it's more of a about me type of thing. We're not worried about other people. We're not, you know, it's easy to get pulled away. And, you know, if the world is in the post-Christian, starting to see some of these things, why don't we take this time and share the good news to these people? And if you have it inside of you, you want to share it with people. And take opportunities. If you're in a store shopping and you're in line with somebody and they're doing their thing, why not try to share with them? There's opportunities there. And it's amazing how doing that will prepare your own heart even further for the Christmas season. And it keeps you in perspective in all things you say and do. Another thing you can do is be aware of how the world is trying to take the meaning of Christmas away from us. We have to be sensitive to that. Teach our families, teach our kids. Think about it as we think in the news. And again, it's an opportunity to share Christ and the good news with people. And if nothing more, we can think of this season as a celebration of our salvation. That little baby in this world and in the world to come. And this is in the year of our Lord. So we can rejoice and be glad all the time. Amen.
Thanks so much, John. Great, great word. Let's bow in a closing prayer here. Lord, I think this is a fantastic way for us to start the Advent season, what John has brought into our minds here in this idea of what if you hadn't come yet? Lord, Christmas rolls around every single year and we get into our traditions, and I think it's always special for us, but I wonder as he's pointed out to us, I wonder if we appreciate just the monumental nature of what you did when you came into this world, and these things that we sing about you arriving as a baby and with an agenda. You really broke into human history and just altered the tide of all things. And even though today we live in a country where so many have rejected you, and I think even of the efforts by some to replace the before Christ and the BC and the AD, they want to replace that because they want your name out of it. We live in that kind of country, but even those people, Father, still want to have compassion for others. I think that's still a value that we hold in our culture. They want to be valued themselves and have others give them their rights, and they want to be safe. And I just think so many of those values that they even hold on to apart from knowledge of you came from you. I don't even think they realize it, Lord, but so much of what we enjoy today in this country is because of the moral shift that you brought. So, Lord, this is a monumental thing that we celebrate, the day that you were born into this planet, and we thank you, Father. What we wouldn't have wanted to live in the world the way it was BC. So, Lord, thank you for literally bringing light into the midst of the darkness and allowing that light to penetrate our souls and our lives. Thank you for a good word today, Lord, and we do celebrate you in these next weeks. In Jesus' name, amen.